This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time to go back in the old Rolodex. One of my good friends from when I lived down in Dallas, Mike Leslie, who covers the team for WFAA, the ABC affiliate down there. He joins us every year when these two teams square off or when there's other nonsense Cowboys Nation. It was very tempting to call you, Mike, earlier this year when you and one of the Cowboys players had a little misunderstanding that resulted in you getting handed a can of nuts that I don't know that we can talk about in more depth on the radio without getting in trouble with the FCC. Good to talk to you, my friend.
It sounds to me like the bit that you played right before you came back from break that I need in on whatever you're having to have a little feel good going on this afternoon. Or is that from today, or is that old audio?
No, that's an old one. That was about a year ago, probably, or so. And Anthony gave me a look because I bought a pack of gummy bears in the market at our office, and then had the audacity to just call them gummies. And the point is, Mike, you've had a weird year covering the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we're talking about. Stay focused. Yeah. I would ask this to get started on a baseline level. Like, did you expect this to be a bad year of Dallas Cowboys football when it all started?
I did not think it was going to be this bad. I did think that they were going to take a step back, but I said before the season that I thought there's still enough talent here between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland and on and on and on, that they should still at least be a competitive football team. I picked them to go 10-7. Said, I don't know that that's going to be good enough to win the NFC East, but I think they got a chance to be a playoff team this year. So I thought they were going to take a step back, but a small step back. I did not see a team that is almost assuredly going to be 3-8 come Sunday afternoon. No, I did not pick this.
So I think one of the interesting things when I watch them defensively, and I'll give my co-host on on the Take Command podcast, Logan Paulson, credit, because he deserves it. And he played in the NFL, and I get to talk to him twice a week and get paid for it, which is a sweet gig. Three times a week, actually. But don't forget the postgame show, everybody. He said he feels like Dallas is playing defensively like a team that's still learning the defense, which would be fine if this was week three or week four, because they have a new coordinator. That is the reality. But as they moved on from Dan Quinn, not by their choice, as Quinn came here to DC and brought in Mike Zimmer, what has been kind of the big issue or the big issues in them adapting, where it still doesn't feel like they quite know what they're supposed to do, snap in, snap out, double-digit weeks into an NFL season?
Yeah, listen, I think the first issue, to be fair to this football team, has been injury. When you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence in the same football game for extended stretches, that does matter. And prior to that game against the Giants, which was week four, looking like they were a defense that was still figuring out what the heck they're doing in Mike Zimmer's system weeks one, two, and three, like you said, is, you know, at least on some degree explainable. Now, looking as bad as they did against the Ravens and Saints is harder to explain, especially a Saints team that then, after they ran roughshod over the Cowboys, lost seven games in a row and fired their head coach. That one's really hard to explain. But those first couple of weeks, okay, sure. New system, still figuring out what the heck you're supposed to do, what your responsibility is, all of that, fine. And then you lose Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. You haven't had Deron Bland all season. Like, there are reasons why the defense has not been as good. And I do feel like they played a lot better against Philadelphia. They gave up 31 points in that game, and it didn't really feel like a fair assessment of how they played in that game, because they were handed a card with the offense playing basically the antithesis of complimentary football in that game. The offense went eight straight possessions basically from late second quarter through the finish of that football game, where there were three three and outs, three turnovers. They didn't have a possession that lasted longer than five plays. The defense was back on the field every time you turned your head. So the fact that they only gave up 31 almost feels like, hey, you did a decent job to at least kind of somewhat hold back like you're the 300 in King Leonidas. This has been a ridiculous football season for this team. Again, injuries are partially to blame and something of an explanation, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to the offseason that they had, and the offseason that they had was completely insufficient to stock the shelves with any semblance of depth, and the moment they did have these injuries, they were completely cooked.
Do you have Mike Leslie, WFAA Dallas, with us here on the Hoffman Show? Do you have any reason to believe that there is any kind of wake-up call that has happened in the Jones household that this isn't good enough, that whatever they did isn't going to work? Because they did win, coming into the season, 12 games 3 years in a row. I could see why they're like, people can say whatever they want, but like, we clearly know what we're doing. Look at the last three seasons. This year, everything everyone predicted is coming true. So what do you think Jerry Jones at the age of 82 does with that information?
Well, there's a lot of conjecture down this way that the season they're having is of their design. That they said, you know what? We're going to sign the quarterback. We're going to sign the wide receiver. We're going to spend a whole bunch of money this year. We are going to let our coaching staff coach their way through a lame duck season with a roster that's not going to be terribly sufficient, and move on from that coaching staff and try and stir this thing back up in 2025. And if that was their plan, it's working brilliantly, because this is not a good football team. I don't know that that really was their plan. I'm not sure that that's really what's going on here, but it has, there are reasons to point at what they've done and think that it's at least a plausibility that that was the plan, because they have nothing in the way of any real depth. Their offensive line is in tatters. It is, in some way, shape, or form, it was always going to be inevitable that at some point this moment was going to come for Zach Martin, because it comes for everybody. But it does feel like this moment has come for Zach Martin, and Father Time has finally one out, and he's not the same player that he was for the vast majority of what is a no doubt Hall of Fame career. He just doesn't look like the same dude anymore. And you combine that with two rookies on the offensive line, one of which in Tyler Guyton, who has struggled mightily. Cooper Beebe's actually been decent at the center position as a rookie, in a position that he never played before, so he's to be commended for a reasonably solid effort this year. But other than that, Tyler Smith has been good. Tyler Smith's really the only offensive lineman that I would truly apply a good descriptor to. The rest of the bunch has struggled significantly. And if you can't move bodies up front, nothing else really matters. And then in addition to that, they really only have CeeDee Lamb in the way of an actual offensive weapon for Dak Prescott, or now Cooper Rush, to utilize. So they just don't have a whole heck of a lot, and it's showing.
Yeah, to say the least. Last question I'll ask you, Mike. The circus for Jerry, is he's always welcomed it. He's kind of the any attention is good attention school of thought. Whether that's correct or not is clearly up for debate. But there are times, and I know this from working down there, like, there are times that Jerry has done that in the past on purpose, where the team is not playing well. He will just step out and do something so that we all talk about Jerry, and then the pressure is kind of off the football team. And it's annoying for them, but it's better for them to be asked about him and the coach to be able to be like, ignore that. We're going to focus on us, like whatever our owner, than it is to them be asked about how badly they're playing football. This year has felt a little bit different, like the stuff with Sean and RJ, where he went after them, and the stuff with the curtains. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like this is not intentional circus Jerry. This is like Jerry can't get out of his own way, or Jerry is, I hate to say it, but he's 82 years old, like losing it, Jerry. What's the prevailing thought down there on that theory? Because there are enough people, including yourself, who have covered this team long enough, I feel like, to have some semblance of knowing the difference.
Yeah, this there have been moments that have felt maybe a little like I did kind of feel like his I'm going to bring up the curtains myself without anybody asking a question about it. We were done. We were all ready to walk away and go into the locker room and start talking to the players. And he brought it up of his own volition. By the way, we know where the sun is. And off we all went with that line of questioning, and why not put up curtains and, you know, the conversation continued along. We were done. So that one did feel a little bit like, hey, you know what? We just got creamed again. Let's talk about something else. And maybe that was an effort to distract. The moment with Sean and RJ did not feel like he was trying to distract or like he was, you know, manipulating the situation to take pressure off his football team. That felt like a genuinely frustrated Jerry Jones that kind of lost control of his own lost control of himself in that moment, at the very least. And then to double down the next week when it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, fellas, my bad. I was frustrated. Obviously I'm not firing you guys. You know, you guys have been great for anything like that, any sort of comment like that. Instead, he offers no apology whatsoever and says, I don't know what all the fuss was about. What? This has been a very weird season for Jerry Jones and for this franchise. And it's hard to make sense of exactly what is going on because, again, going back to this school of thought, maybe they were just throwing this season away to move on from Mike McCarthy and put a bunch of money in this year and whatever. Is he really in a position where he can throw away a season? Like, yeah. Actuarial tables would suggest that that's not a prudent choice. I'm trying to find a respectful and polite way to vocalize what you're talking about. Like that, the clock is ticking. That is reality. It's the reality for all of us, I suppose. None of us know when that's actually going to happen. But at 82, it's likelier than it is for me at 37. Like it just again, actuarial tables would suggest that. So you're not really in a position where you can be throwing away a season. So I don't think that was the plan coming in. I just don't think that they felt like they needed to go get more. And if that's really what they thought, they were clearly, sadly mistaken because they very obviously need more.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with the actuarial tables with Jerry is there's a large group of people that would tell you that Jerry, somewhere along the line, has already made a deal with the devil. So, you know, there's that. Mike Leslie covering.
He's still kicking around at 106.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, what'd you say about me in 2024 on that radio show, Leslie? That's what I thought. I'll fire you, too. Mike Leslie, WFAA-TV.
Yeah, Leslie, now you're a grandfather. What do you have to say?
Yeah, exactly. In Dallas, always great to join us on anything Cowboys adjacent, any Dallas sports adjacent. Mike, always a pleasure. You making the trip this weekend?
I will be up there. I'm on the charter tomorrow, so I will. We'll have to catch up.
Oh, nice.
A drink or lunch or something.
Yeah, I'll text
we'll
you. We'll get together. I'll be at the game. Maybe we'll ride there together after breakfast. We'll figure that out. Okay. I'm actually in Ohio right now, so I'm not. I will be back tomorrow. But we can text about that off the radio. Mike,
safe
always a pleasure, sir. I'll see you this weekend. All right, that's Mike Leslie with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, speaking of my travels, a quick story time before we go around the NFL. A week ago, I was not in Columbus, Ohio. I was in Richmond, Virginia, on the verge of running a half marathon and watching my wife run a full marathon. And then, you know who showed up after we got done running? Anthony Haney did. So quick story time about the marathon, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it because I was out most of this week. Next, here on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up in just a few minutes, we go around the NFL, preview every game, and there was just breaking news of a starting quarterback who's not going to play in one of the games of the weekend. We'll get you that update in 9 minutes. But first, a week ago, I was in Richmond, Virginia, doing the show from our sister station, 910 The Fan, down in RVA. And I was there because on Saturday, I ran the Richmond Half Marathon. My wife ran the full Richmond Marathon. And we haven't had a chance to debrief on this because I was then After we finished that, we went home, flipped around Sunday, and came out to where I am right now in Columbus, Ohio, where I'm on Uncle Craig duty. As some of you know that have been listening to the show yesterday or following along on social media or whatever. But we had a new addition to the family. So I now have an 8-day-old nephew, and we were out here to help out with our 3-year-old niece and yada, yada, yada. So I was out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Back yesterday, we got into the football, and I realized we never had a chance to do story time on the radio about the run, and it's especially important to do that, or maybe not important, but extra fun, I should say, to do that, because you want to know who was there as well, didn't see me get to run, but he did see my wife finish up the race and was there for the aftermath. It was one Anthony Haney, who was down in Richmond for a wedding. So, Anthony, first of all, how terrible did we look after we got done running all that mileage?
You guys looked like you had been put through the blender. I'm talking about, I know Rachel had caught a cramp. I'm sure you were also feeling it as well. You both hadn't eaten, which was, well, you didn't eat a lot anyway. And yeah. I was expecting you guys to, you know, be filling up, but I feel like once you have one of those kinds of, you know, races and things of that nature, you're not really in the mood to, you know, really eat or anything. So that was a little shocking.
You guys look beat up, man. You need a second.
Yeah.
You definitely need a second. So timeline-wise, she started at 7. I started at 7:15. They stagger the starts, let the marathoners get out of the way, and then they veer off pretty early in the course, and then they actually kind of finish along the same route where our course is. So they run probably 2/3, 3/4 of the half marathon course. It's the end for them towards the back half. But I've then finished around, so I started 7:15. So my goal was to try to go sub 150. And to be honest, Anthony, I didn't feel very good at all during the race. I just never settled in. But training being what it is, if you do the work, training is really a math problem. And even though I didn't feel great during the race, I actually finished at 150:43, I think was my official time. Maybe it was 150:44. One was the time on my Garmin watch. One was like the official time from the race. But I finished within 45 seconds of my goal, which all in a 2-hour race, especially when I didn't feel very good and was in some pain throughout it, I think it's pretty good. So I finished a little after 9 o'clock, and ultimately Rachel. So you had just left at that point. So you then get down there somewhere in the 10 o'clock-ish, 10:30 range, and we're doing the whole like, can we find each other bit. And then you eventually, which by the way also was chaotic because all the GPS signals and everything was getting scrambled down by the finish line, which actually caused me to have a mini panic attack at one point because I thought Rachel had gotten hurt with like a tenth of a mile to go because her little dot on the tracker stopped moving. And I was like, she should have finished by now. And turns out like they had messed up her dot, and eventually found her. And then we just went and sat down in some grass, and then here comes Anthony Haney looking super comfortable, basically still in his freaking pajamas. And we're like, you want to fight right now? No, it was great. It was great to see you. You just bring positive energy. And so it was great to have you there. I don't think there's a lot of people that Rachel would have appreciated having at the finish line.
Yeah.
But you're on the short list.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel good, man. But yes, I was definitely in my PJs, had my do-rag on. Got on the road early. So I just wanted to try to get down here to see you guys, especially because I feel like doing a half marathon, a marathon, that is an achievement a lot of people would never achieve or amount to. So it's just super, you know, shout out to you guys. I don't know if I'll ever do that, but maybe down the road it'll be on my bucket list.
I think we'll start you with a 5K. We'll start you with a 5K.
Okay.
And then we'll see from there. We see if we can get you to catch the bug.
Yeah.
If that's something that you want to do. If you don't, that's okay too. I'm not gonna pressure you.
I want to stay young and active and yeah.
Running's definitely a good way to do it. I never thought I'd be a distance person, but here I am. And you know, I thought there was a chance that I would finish this half marathon and be like, you know what? I think I want to do the full. Hell no. not yet, man. Like, yeah. I definitely at some point think I want to maybe do that, but like, I got to get to a point where I finish a half, because I've now done two like official halves, and they both hurt too bad, man. Like, I, not to say, like, if you race it, it's going to hurt to a point, but it shouldn't hurt as bad as it hurt for this one. So I want to get to a point where I can do a half and not have it hurt as bad, and do a time that I'm proud of and not have it hurt as bad. And then maybe I would consider a full. However, Anthony, I haven't told you this yet. Wifey's got a bib for Chicago next year.
Oh,
she is going to be raising money, and she got a charity bib for Chicago. So, like, you can either be in a lottery system or you can get a charity bib. And she had an organization that she wanted to work with that helps combat sexual violence. She reached out to them and was like, hey, I just ran my first marathon. Like, she did this literally like on Sunday, the day after she ran Richmond. And she's like, I just ran my first. I care a lot about this work. I've been doing this work. I would love to be a part of your team. And they emailed her back like the next day and were like, we'd love to have you. So I'll definitely be sharing more info about that if people want to help out. But next October, my wife is going to run the Chicago Marathon. I'm pretty pumped about it. So that'll be really cool. I will definitely not be. But I definitely will run a half at some point before then. And hopefully it won't hurt like hell.
I hope it doesn't hurt like hell then, Brett.
Thank you for your wishes of not being in pain. Also, last but not least, Richmond, shout outs to you. Everyone down there, that was a really fun race. The crowds were great. Some really funny signs. But if anyone ever tells you that the Richmond Marathon is easy because it's flat, they're lying to you. It is not flat. There's no like crazy hills, but there are it is a constant rolling hills, which is fine. It's just not when you're told it's flat. Can mess with you a little bit. That's all I'm gonna say. And man, when they say that's, oh, it's a great downhill finish, buddy, I felt like I was falling down the hill the last half mile. That thing was steep. Helped the time, but good gracious, I thought I was gonna face plant. Anyway, all right, apropos of none of that, we're gonna go around the NFL next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, our pick six at six. We'll pick the six players that we think will have the biggest impact on Cowboys and Commanders non-quarterback division. We'll see how creative that gets. We also have some injury updates now for the rest of the games around the NFL because, well, it's 5:30 on a Friday, and this is the part of the show where we go around the NFL. Of course, last night in the snow, Jameis Winston and the Browns beat the Steelers 24-19. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch this game. I didn't feel the need to watch this game, Anthony. And now I kind of wish I would have at least watched the fourth quarter because apparently it was entertaining as hell.
Oh, the fourth quarter was lit. I didn't watch the first three quarters. I did not.
You did the thing that I wish I would have done.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. I had got home at just a very good time, and fortunate for me, I was able to catch the fourth quarter. It was insane. The snow started coming down. Well, the snow was down at halftime, but the fact they were making plays out there in the snow. Also, Jameis, just he's a national treasure, Craig. Every time he speaks,
I mean, he is, but he isn't. Like, I don't know. There's too much Jameis like stuff that you're just like, I don't know, that's a good dude, but he is hilarious.
I think that's why he's got that going for him. Yeah, I look for. I like listening to Jameis for comedic relief.
If you look at Jameis as an artist and it's purely for entertainment value, yeah, you can get past all the other nonsense, then yeah, no, he's high entertainment value.
Eat the W.
He said something wild after the game last night along those lines. I was just like, what? Yeah. What goes through this dude's head?
I don't know. He said, God said, let there be light. And there was light, Craig.
Sometimes I think there's darkness between his ears, but that's a separate issue. Vikings and Bears gets us started on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Chicago, 3.5-point dogs at home against Minnesota. This is an interesting one. And I actually picked this game for Competition Wednesday. I picked Chicago here. They've been better at home. They also defensively like turn the football over quite a bit against Sam Darnold and an offense that turns the football over quite a bit. So I do think that this can be close. And Chicago obviously played Green Bay really close last week and came down to the blocked field goal at the end. So to me, this is a game that goes one of two directions. Either the Bears like fully implode, because that was the last straw, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Or they're like, dang, we were so close, and they're feisty, and they keep fighting, which is kind of who they've generally been.
Yeah. Mm. This one's tough. I'm taking
Minnesota straight up, by the way.
You're taking the Vikings. But, oh, you're taking the Vikings. I thought you were taking the Bears.
I'm taking the Vikings, but I do think the Bears will keep it close.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close game. Divisional game as well. I just think the Vikings are the better team, man. But it's just so hard because the Browns won yesterday. It's
messing with you.
Screw it, Craig. I'm going with the Bears.
Famous last words. Famous last picking words.
The Bears.
By the way, what were our records last week?
I didn't even get to tally these. But look at
all right,
at
we'll
it.
Do that. Let's do that in the break when we split this segment here.
All right.
And we'll figure it out because I wasn't here on Monday. Lions and Colts. Detroit's just murdering people. The Colts have been roadkill for a couple of teams, but they obviously were able to get back up off the mat with Anthony Richardson last week. How you feeling about your boys this week?
So those are my guys at the end of the day. But for this exercise, I think I'm going to go with the Lions. And I'm going to be quiet after that.
Yeah, I think the Lions are going to win. And I think the 7.5 is not enough points. I think the Lions are going to win by
a lot.
Hold up.
If you don't think 7.5 is enough, Pat McAfee on his show earlier today said Lions minus 20.
Oh,
would you take the Colts? Would you take the Colts to cover?
I would take the Colts plus 20, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes. That's because something got off the rails on the McAfee show, which is want to happen, as they say.
Yeah.
Patriots and Dolphins. Miami minus 7.5. In this one, as they have looked obviously a lot better since Tua has been back offensively. Their defense still not very good, though. I would take New England to cover this point spread, but I'm going to take the Dolphins to win the game. Like, every Patriots game feels like it's going to be the same, where the Patriots are going to go out and Drake May is going to do some crazy stuff. You're going to be like, wow, they have their quarterback of the future. Oh, the rest of their team stinks. Oh, Drake's trying to do too much at the end. Interception. I don't even remember which weeks that has happened versus which weeks I've said it's going to happen at this point, because it has happened multiple times. But I'm going to take the Dolphins to win this game at home.
I'm going to take the Dolphins as well. I'm still surprised by the defense, just because they have household names over there, and
some
they're just not, you know, living up to those names. But yeah, I think the Dolphins offense will be too much for the Patriots. Give me the Dolphins, baby.
Next game, quick sidebar from the game itself. Biggest headline out of this game is the guy that's not going to be there. The Giants hosting the Bucks, and Daniel Jones released today. We don't really have a place in the show to talk about this, so I'm just going to do it now. Like, it's easy to laugh at the Giants because everyone thought the Daniel Jones pick was a bad pick. He mostly has been a bad pick. He had one stretch of good football, then he got hurt, and then he has been terrible since. And I don't take any joy in the personal demise of Daniel Jones. It's not his fault that the Giants picked him eighth, all that kind of stuff. He's the next Manning, Cutcliffe, whatever. Like, Daniel Jones worked really hard. He seems like he's a good dude who did his best, and his best is not good enough to be an NFL quarterback. But he was also in a precarious situation currently, and that is, and again, like, the Giants were stupid to sign him to the contract to a point, but I also get why they did it. And obviously it was kind of a 2-year experiment. That experiment failed miserably. But when we talk about today and this week and where they got with this situation, the Giants could not risk dressing Daniel Jones. And frankly, they probably didn't even want him practicing, because if he got hurt, his money was guaranteed for next year. And so instead of playing this silly game where it's like, hey, dude, like, we were going to wrap you in bubble wrap for the rest of the season, but we expect you to be in meetings, blah, blah, blah. He just went to to John Mara, the team president, was like, hey, man, like, can we just, party's over. Can I go home? And John Mara, to his credit, was like, yeah, you can. Like, it's dead money on the cap this year. Who cares? It doesn't affect them in the future. And that's money they're not going to spend this year. It's basically dead money anyway. It's only live money if he's playing, but like, they don't want him to play. So whether he's on the roster or it's officially dead money is no different. And so if he gets to go somewhere else and be a backup quarterback for the rest of the year and make a little bit of extra cash, I don't even know if he winds up making extra cash. It might even just come out of what the Giants have to pay him. when he signs for league minimum, or at the very least can go like be in meetings and like be a part of another franchise, another organization, get exposed to different coaching. Like, good for them for handling this like adults. And I genuinely mean that, because a lot of teams just kind of bury their guy at the end of the bench, and it's awkward and weird and miserable for everybody. And instead they're like, hey, we've broken up. Can I move out? Yes. I have enough money in the bank to go find another home. I don't need to keep living here, even though we've broken up. And so good for the Giants and Daniel Jones for moving on, because it was over.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of teams lining up to sign that guy as a backup. As a backup.
If I was, yeah, no, 100%. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think of if you're a playoff team, I don't know what the Ravens backup quarterback situation is, but like, I would be wanting to sign Daniel Jones if I was the Ravens, and I have a run centric scheme, and I got, in case Lamar misses a game or whatever. Like, I definitely would be looking to sign Daniel Jones. He is one of the 40 best quarterbacks probably in the league. The problem is he's somewhere between like 30 and 40.
Yeah.
But that means he's good enough to be a backup.
Yeah.
The Bucs are going to smash the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, they are.
Mike Evans is going to be back, apparently. So adjust your fantasy lineups accordingly. That's who they're playing. The Bucs are on the road at New York. It's a 6-point spread. I would take Tampa with Mike Evans back to cover that 6-point spread. We'll pick Cowboys Commanders before the end of the show. Real quickly, Chiefs and Panthers. 1, 2, 3.
Chiefs.
Whoa.
Chiefs. Okay. Chiefs.
And then last but not least, Titans and Texans is the last game in the 1 o'clock window. 1, 2, 3. Texans.
Texans, right? All right, just making sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for playing. When we get back, a couple of big games, and I told you there was a starting quarterback who was kind of a surprise not playing this weekend. It's in the 4 o'clock window. We'll tell you about it. Plus, preview the two primetime games, Eagles, Rams, Ravens, Chargers, bangers on Sunday, Monday Night Football. We'll talk about them next on The Hoffman Show. Rolling on our trip around the NFL, it's The Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Cowboys Commanders pick 6 coming up at 6 o'clock, because it's the pick 6 at 6. You guys know how that works. Dave Johnson live from the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena coming up at 6:15. And then we are Audi 3000 at 6:30, I guess, 6:45 the show ends, because Dave and Glenn are on the call for Wizards and Celtics NBA Emirates Cup action tonight. Continuing in the 4 o'clock window with our picks and analysis of every game of the NFL weekend, Broncos and Raiders, Anthony. Raiders coming off a bye, trying to get right with new offensive coordinator. Is that Scott Turner's music? Yep. Scott Turner's the new OC, in Vegas. Antonio Pierce bringing him and his dad in. Norv is an advisor. Any faith it's going to go better this time around?
I mean, there might be some.
The correct answer is no, Anthony. Yeah, thanks right. for playing.
You're right.
Broncos beat the Falcons 38-6 last week. 38-6. And I realize it's a division game, and those things are tough. But like, the Broncos might actually be good. Sean Payton's apparently good at this coaching thing, and the Raiders stink. 49ers and Packers. Here's your breaking news. Brock Purdy is out for this game. That has swung the line further in Green Bay's direction. It is now Green Bay -5. Packers looking to continue rolling, maybe have a bit of an easier time than they did, where they had to block a field goal to win against Chicago last week. And just this Niners year that has felt cursed. Like, Kittle should be back for this game, but now Purdy's out. By the way, it's Brandon Allen who's going to start at quarterback for the 49ers. Yeah, Anthony, Brandon Allen. Where did
Good
he go
gracious.
To school?
Brandon Allen went to Oklahoma State.
Is that correct?
I don't know. I thought you knew.
I thought in my head it was Arkansas, but then you said it.
What's
his last
name?
Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen went to.
You said it and it sounded right.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Arkansas.
And Craig wins today's edition of who he play for. Who did he play for in college? Yeah, so he's going to start. Big armed kid, not super accurate. We'll see how the decision making goes. Although I think Kyle will probably take some of the decision making out of it and be like, I would like you to hand the ball to Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the next play, I'm going to have you hand it to Deebo Samuel, because throwing it to him, that sounds too risky. But that's going to be tough. Taking Green Bay, by the way, officially Broncos. Good. Got that notated on the pick side of it. 49ers and Packers. I got Green Bay at home in this one.
Can I change my Wednesday competition with the pick?
Yes.
Please?
Yes. Anthony, I'm going to allow a rare exception here. Anthony did pick this game for competition Wednesday. We didn't realize that Brock Purdy was going to full out miss this game. And so, Anthony, what game are you swapping to?
I think I'll just keep the same game and, you know, just take the Packers to win by more than three.
Well, it's five is the line.
It's five? Hold up. Maybe I need to refresh this NFL ESPN page. Five.
I got Green Bay minus five on ESPN.com.
It is on minus five now. All right. I'm not going to choose Green Bay to win by more than five. This is a little scary. I will, in turn, choose the Broncos to win by more than six against.
I've already picked that game.
So I will, in turn. I will, in turn, choose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat the Giants by more than six. You don't have that game.
I don't believe I have that game. Let me double check. I kind of wish I did. And I know Mike Evans was playing, I'd have that game. So there's a bit, I just realized that, you know, not you doing this on a Friday is a bit unfair because the injuries, I mean, a quarterback injury is one thing. That's why I'm letting you get away with it, but letting you pick on the Mike Evans of it all. Like, although I guess that's factored into the line. I did not have that game. All right, so Anthony is going. It's minus six now.
Yep, it's minus six.
Tampa Bay minus six.
I mean, should we take the Steelers Browns game off as well while we're at it? Or
no?
All right, my bad.
You already lost that. That is
like, I appreciate
you. You messed up on that one. That's on you.
I appreciate you, you kind sir.
And that one's extra funny to me because I would have picked that game if you didn't. It was literally my first choice.
Dang.
And you saved me from myself. So thanks for that, Anthony.
Anytime.
Anyway, back to the rest of the games. Cardinals and Seahawks. By the way, Arizona favored by one in this game now. This line opened at the rare 0.5. On Monday, this was Arizona minus a half a point. Mm. Normally, they'll just say, like, screw it. We'll give you pick 'em. And because the only way that you don't get the money line and the half point being correct is if they tie. But whatever it's worth, this is now Arizona minus one. And I think the Cardinals are going to win the football game. Like, I think they're a better football team consistently than the Seahawks. The Seahawks ceiling is higher, but they've been really bad on the road. They've been really bad at home. They're 2-4 at home. Cardinals are 2-2 away from the big toaster, as Chris Berman is fond of calling it. And I'm going to take Arizona to stay hot after their bye week.
I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks here.
Okay.
I think this is a stinky fish. Is this a stinky fish, Craig?
No, the Cardinals have a better record.
Okay. I'm still, you know, learning what a stinky fish is.
It's a line that doesn't make any sense.
You think this one makes sense?
Yeah, okay. Arizona's a better football team.
Well, I'm going with the Seahawks to defend their home territory, and I have no legitimate reasoning.
Okay. Then on we go to Eagles and Rams. That's the analysis that we live for. Eagles and Rams at L.A., although this is definitely going to feel like an Eagles home game. The Eagles fans love to travel to L.A. Jason Kelsey's talked about it quite a bit on New Heights about how every time they went to that stadium when he was with Philly, like that place was as loud as any stadium that wasn't the Link for the Eagles. And so Philly, one of the best teams in the league, obviously, is the Commanders well found out. Coming off the mini bye here as well. I think Philly's going to go into L.A. and do this. L.A.'s really talented offensively. I think they'll be able to put up more points than Washington did on Philly. But I don't know. And I know the Rams pass rush is pretty good, but I think they'll be able to block it up. And Jalen will have the time to find his guys down the field.
Yeah, I think the Eagles win this game as well. Just considering what they did last week in terms of taking away Terry, taking away our pass catchers, I think if you don't allow Puka and Cooper to get off, I think they're going to be in for a long day. Now, that is a tall task, but the Eagles' defense, they've been playing exceptionally well.
The interior pressure is the thing here. Like Stafford, you know, he can throw off his back foot all day, but getting in his face a little bit, speeding up his process, and it's just that zone match is so different. And it's something that has really stymied Sean in the past. I mean, obviously famously in the Super Bowl, you know, Belichick played a lot of that type of stuff, and it really messed with Sean, which is why he went out and hired you know, Brandon Staley as his defensive coordinator, because he's one of the Vic Fangio disciples. So they've got some better planning for it, but it's still just really hard to do. And the Eagles are doing it as well as anybody right now. And then the Monday Nighters, a banger as well. Ravens and Chargers, a Baltimore 3-point favorites on the road in the Harbaugh Bowl. Jim and John going at it here. Anthony, who you got in this one? And by the way, who do you have in Eagles Rams?
I said the Eagles.
Okay.
Checking. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens here. I think this one's tough. This is a really good
game. I'm excited. Great games.
I'm excited for this one. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens, though. Again, they just got to find their groove. On paper, they're so talented to be a – to me, they're too talented to be a 7-4 team. A 7-4 team.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. They got to figure some stuff out defensively, but the Chargers play a very distinct style, like that I think actually kind of works with the Ravens. Like, hey, just buckle your chin strap. Let's get downhill. Let's play. And I think the Ravens are probably pretty ticked about how last week went.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Ravens as well. Again, like I imagine there'll be a lot of Ravens fans here. SoFi is not exactly a home field advantage, although it is a beautiful stadium. So I'll take Baltimore as well. Falcons, Bills, Bengals, Saints, Jets, Jags, all on a bye. So congrats to the Jets. They won't lose this week. That's it. That's our trip around the NFL for week. What is this? This is week 13?
Week 12.
Week 11. Week 12.
Week 12.
Week 12.
12.
Okay. Just week 12. Just week 12, not getting ahead of ourselves. So that's our trip around the NFL. When we get back to the Commanders and Cowboys, we'll pick six players that we think will have the biggest impact on the game. Our pick six is next.